Saskia, tell me about MyCWA.
So we are a domestic abuse expert charity, and we've been around in Cheshire for a very long time, since the mid-1970s. We have a really wide range of services because we try to work with everybody in the family. So that includes any adults who are victims of domestic abuse, any children who may have been affected by domestic abuse, and we also work with the person in the family that's caused the harm. We've got a real range of interventions. So if you need to get away and be somewhere safe, you can move into one of our refuges, and we've got a number of those across Cheshire. If you are okay where you are but you need support to recover from those traumatic experiences, you can have that trauma support from us. If children are affected, we do work with children from the age of 2, right up through to young adults with special needs up to the age of about 25. So it's really an ageless, genderless service where we will always do our best to try to meet the needs that somebody brings to us.
And this building here, how long have you been here?
About 15 years. So this building was originally a pub and a mill, and then it was changed into business units. When I joined the organisation in 2011, we only had one of those 5 business units. We now have all 5. And we share the space with RASASC, which is the Rape and Sexual Abuse Support Centre, and CLASP, which is a service that supports single parents. We share with the Probation Service women's team. It's just a really lovely space to work from, and it's a very welcoming and warm space for people to come to. So
it's a full service space, isn't it?
It absolutely is, yeah. It really is. But we also know that not everybody can come to Crewe, not everybody can get here. So we do work out in the community at a whole range of different venues, from Ellesmere Port right back to Macclesfield and you know, every direction you can get to in Cheshire, really.
Obviously, we talk a lot to charities about things like COVID and the cost of living. Have you seen, since COVID, an increase in people using your services, or has things stayed the same?
It's increased massively. Between April 2020 and July 2020, we saw a massive increase in demand, which would be expected because that was at the start of the pandemic and people were under pressure, didn't know what was going to hit them. But even now, 3 years later, this last year we saw another 38% increase in demand, with a 26% increase in the level of harm that was being done and the level of risk. People are more vulnerable than they were, their needs are more complex, they are struggling financially because of the cost of living, which makes it very, very hard to separate and, you know, create 2 homes after a family splits up. People are desperate. We've given out more food and basic supplies than ever before. And honestly, I would have said we were busy in, say, 2014, 2015. I've never known it like this, and I've worked in this field for 30 years.
I suppose that makes things a lot more difficult on the staff, doesn't it?
I think it's incredibly hard for our team. You don't get into working in the charity sector because you want to be rich, for a start. That's not what happens. We have lots of volunteers, and we have staff who just work incredibly hard for what are not, you know, the best rates of pay, and it doesn't stop. So when people are in crisis, we have to respond. So the team are quite used to just immediately having to respond to a family that's in a terrible situation. Just last week, we had a family present where they were homeless, 5 children. The team just wrapped around them. It spent the whole day getting them sorted, getting them settled somewhere, making sure they had all of their basic needs met. But it does have a price, that level of responsiveness to really tragic and traumatic things that are happening to people. And, you know, we've got to really take care of our team to make sure they don't get burnt out, because burnout is a massive issue in our sector.
It's got to be a real factor, yeah, definitely.
It really is. I mean, and yet any one of the team at any time would be here staying later in response to somebody's need, or being here first thing. Just today we've had people volunteering to go out over the weekend to a client that's particularly vulnerable, and we're concerned if she's left on her own all weekend that, you know, that's not going to be helpful to her, and it could put her at significant risk. And, you know, just like that, people saying, yep, yeah, I can come out at the weekend, I can do that. I think they're amazing, all of them, they really are.
Definitely a certain calibre of person, isn't it, I think?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, we recruit on values here. We look for people who share our values, and that's to treat people with trust and respect, but also have the courage to try to meet their needs and try to look at an individual and support what they need and what they want in that moment, rather than what we think might be beneficial or what we've decided is a good thing. It definitely does take a resilient person who wants to make a difference. That's the key thing, I think.
Now, we mentioned before the cost of living crisis. I mean, funding something like this, considering it's practically a 24-hour-a-day facility, isn't it, ultimately, with the volunteers and everything. What's your normal route for funding?
We have a contract with the local authority, and we have a couple of other contracts to deliver services. We only apply for contracts that would allow us to deliver what we think should be delivered. We also fundraise from the general public, and we have people who donate on a regular basis, like a monthly direct debit. So it's quite varied, really, where the money comes from. This year, in May, we found out that we were going to have a 25% cut in our funding from the local authority, and that really has been a challenge to us to manage, that 25% cut. And just a couple of weeks ago, we were informed that there's likely to be more cuts on the horizon, and that is very worrying, because this is literally our busiest time of the year. In the run-up to Christmas, between Christmas and New Year, and up until kind of towards the end of January, early Feb, families are in crisis. The cracks that might have been able to be manageable beforehand will put people under absolutely huge pressure. Financial worries over Christmas put people under even more pressure, and then people will be off work, and, you know, the situation can escalate very, very quickly. So we all have to be ready for that every year. We try to be very prepared. We try to give the people in our accommodation and the people we're supporting in the community the best chance of a positive Christmas as possible. In fact, we get gifts from yourselves, which really helps to take a bit of the pressure off parents, because it means that the mums and dads in our refuge accommodation are able to provide a gift for the child when otherwise they might not have been able to. Yeah, the funding situation is a worry at the moment. Looking ahead, with the way things are, with interest rates and, you know, just decisions being made at a national level that put councils under pressure, then the first kind of services they go to court are the ones like ours that are just outside the council, but working with them. So that is a major concern.
It's a real worry, isn't it? I mean, there's a lot of families, and as you said before, you do all, don't you? It's the mums, it's the dads, it's the kids, it's the pets.
Oh, absolutely. It is the pets as well. I mean, we are one of only five organisations in the UK that allow pets into our refuge accommodation, because that can stop a family from leaving. And just to give you some idea of the scale of the problem, nationally, we know that one in four women and one in six men are victims of domestic abuse. And just last year, we ourselves directly supported 3,883 adults and children.
Oh, wow.
In Cheshire. And I know the police are responding to domestic abuse calls on a regular basis, because we work with them from their custody suites to speak to people who've caused harm, who've been newly arrested. So it's a massive, the scale of the problem is bigger than anybody would imagine, I think, because it's not something that we talk about on a personal level. We might see it on the news and we might talk about it for a community, but we don't really talk about it personally. So it's a massive issue.
If somebody, especially at this time of year, if somebody is concerned or worried, what's the best way of getting in touch?
So you can contact us at any time through our Facebook page or through our website, which is www.mycwa.org.uk, and I think that will be on the page with the with the this interview, so people can follow that. You can also ring our 24-hour helpline, which is 0300 123 5101, and speak to a member of our staff that is experienced and an expert in domestic abuse. And you know, a lot of those calls that come to us, especially out of hours, will be somebody saying, is this domestic abuse that's been going on in my relationship? They're not really sure if it is or if they're overreacting. Inevitably it is, because if you have to ask, then there's clearly a problem. But our staff can be really helpful and reassuring and discuss what your options are. So I would definitely recommend that people get in touch with us, because although I am concerned about rising demand and the reducing income, I would never want anybody to feel that they can't approach us and ask for the help that they need, because that's what we're here for, and we will always do our best.
Big first step, isn't it, that 100%. Contacting.
It's so hard, and you know, especially if you've had poor experiences maybe with other agencies, other professionals. You know, we work with quite a lot of people who've got really, really complex lives and complex challenges, where other agencies are either unable or unwilling to support them, and we will respond to that 24 hours a day, you know, and we will literally do everything from providing food to offering support, to have a ring doorbell if you need that security, to bringing you into accommodation, to looking for clothes. You know, there is nothing that our team won't stretch to try to do to support people.